Packers fans, and welcome into the Green 19 podcast brought to you by JS Online and PackersNews.com. I'm Cassidy Hill, joined by Ryan Wood and Tom Silverstein. Spoon, I know you've been on vacation for a couple of weeks, so we've enjoyed having you back in the fold this week.
Yeah, it was, I had to learn all the numbers again when I went to practice. I had forgotten who everybody was, so it was a good refresher and a good chance to remember the guys that they've drafted and added and, you know, put a roster numbers to, you know, faces and bodies and all that kind of stuff.
I was about to offense, there's a lot of new faces.
I'll tell you, though, that what we just learned about Spoon's vacation, he's got the most, like, adult responsible vacation I've ever heard of. He just came in from pulling weeds, and I'm like, attaboy, Spoon. And I don't know that I'd spend my vacation pulling weeds, but that's right. That's on brand. It's on brand, Spoon.
Yeah, well, I got a lot of them, so.
It's strangely relaxing. It is strangely relaxing because of how methodical it is.
It is. I can swear at a lot of people while I'm pulling weeds. You know, anybody I'm mad at, it just poof, poof, poof.
So it's cheaper than therapy is pulling weeds.
Yes, exactly.
Wes, I like it. We'll have to all try that. As you said, though, a lot of new faces, a lot of new numbers and guys to remember. And we've kind of seen that, especially on the offensive side of the ball. This was the first time this offseason that these new guys have been able to play with Aaron Rodgers. And golly, what a difference. I think this is the best Christian Watson has looked all offseason. And it's because he was catching passes from Rodgers. Ryan, I'm just going to start with you because I know we've been watching these guys over the past few weeks. Everything just looked crisper, faster, smoother with Rodgers running the offense, even with some of these rookie guys. Would you not say?
Yeah, it's kind of an example that a good quarterback raises the level of everyone around him, especially receivers, you know, and like, you know, obviously the caveat that we always say this time of year, it's not in pads.
Right.
It's not real football yet, and especially when it comes to receivers, the physicality of getting off the line of scrimmage when you're in pads, that'll be another element that we've got to see and how the young guys especially adjust to and how guys coming in learning an offense adjust to. But it is a really beneficial thing to have a guy like Aaron Rodgers throwing you the ball, two-time MVP reigning. It's not a small thing. So, you know, and there's also the difference between, and Aaron Rodgers said it this week, how the offense is run on paper and how a quarterback who's been around as long as he has, how he runs the offense. And so this week has been kind of a crash course of that to use as a springboard to get into training camp, which is going to be the real crux of developing that timing and chemistry.
I thought it was interesting that Jordan Love had a better two-minute drill than Rodgers did. He actually moved the team right down the field. And then I was watching that red zone drill, and they were scoring pretty regularly. Now, I you know, that's not to make it seem like, you know, Jordan Love has made these huge gains, but it was interesting to note. You know, he's going against the number two defense too, so that has something to do with it. But he was in the red zone, he looked like he was pretty good in command, and then the 2 minute he looked pretty good too.
We're gonna put it out there. Tom Silverstein says there's a quarterback controversy in Green Bay.
Yeah, not quite. Boy, there is, when you talk about a difference, it's, you know, in the accuracy and timing with Rodgers. You know, when he wants to put it somewhere, he can put it somewhere. You know, right.
Rodgers threw a pick six too to Rasul Douglas. You know, that was, which I think It should be noted that Packers defense, at least on paper, we don't see it with pads yet, but that Packers defense, that first team defense on paper, it looks pretty good. I thought they were flying around making some plays.
That interception, I noticed this a couple times. I think Sammy Watkins ran the wrong route. He was doing a combination route with Amari Rodgers. And then there was another time Rodgers threw back shoulder and Watkins was way down the field. I mean, just threw, it was like Rodgers wasn't throwing it to anybody. So they got a lot of work to do between those two to figure out, you know, Watkins has a lot to learn about that offense.
Right. And I want to get into Watkins a little bit more, but before we do, just kind of looking back at these rookie guys, Ryan, I know there was a moment that you and I both caught with Rodgers and Samari Torrey, where Samari didn't necessarily do exactly what Rodgers wanted him to do. It was in a red zone drill, and he called him over afterwards and was using his hands and was walking him back through the drill. Is that just sort of the difference of when he's there of narrowing down those little details that can make all the difference in the world come November, December?
Yeah, and chalk one up to the people who think that it's significant that Aaron Rodgers is here in the offseason, especially with young guys, because that's something that you can't get. Now, there's time for that in training camp too. But, yeah, I mean, he was very demonstrably showing how the route should have been run as opposed to how the route was run. I thought it was interesting, too, that Randall Cobb kind of moseyed on over to that conversation. It was kind of nodding along. And because Aaron Rodgers said it this week, Randall Cobb is kind of the conduit between him and the rest of the receiving room, because who knows Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback better than Randall Cobb. So you saw Randall Cobb taking an active role in that and being involved in the conversation, even if just listening. It didn't look, I mean, Aaron Rodgers was directing that conversation. He was in charge and he was the one talking, but Randall Cobb was present, listening and kind of just being on the same page.
Let's do get into Sammy Watkins though. Spoon, I know you've been doing this a long time. What does it take for a guy to be able to come in, an older guy like he is? And I know he's not incredibly old, but in wide receiver years, he's on the back 40. What does it take for an older guy to come in and integrate himself into this offense right away? And can Sammy Watkins, from what you've seen, albeit as small of a sample size as it is so far that we've gotten this offseason, can Sammy Watkins do it, in your opinion?
Well, I don't think the offense is that hard for him to learn. He was in it with LaFleur in LA. So he has a basic knowledge of it. I'm sure it's taken some different directions in Green Bay with Rodgers, particularly with all the changes at the line of scrimmage. They didn't do that much with Jared Goff and when he was with the Rams. So that's probably a big part of it. I don't know. I think it's always an adjustment. I think it's a mistake that he hasn't been at the offseason workouts, that he hasn't been at OTAs. I think he could use the work as much.
Well, Matt LaFleur did say that he was at two OTAs. He just wasn't at the open one. So he hasn't been at all of them, but okay. he did point out that he's been at two closed OTA sessions.
Yeah. Whether that's
no, he was in Kroll's eating a burger on Saturday night because I saw him there.
Yeah, I don't know. He needs a lot of work and he'll get it in training camp. I don't think it's a big, I think what it's going to come down to with him is his physical being. What right. Does he still have it left? You know, I mean, I think we saw it with Funchess last year. You know, he had a year off. Was he still physically ready to play football? And while he was in great shape, he just didn't have it to play football anymore. And Sammy Watkins has been active, but how many games did he miss last year? I think
I will Google that right now.
I think he missed three. I think he played 13 games last year. So he missed at least three since 2017.
A ton of snaps. So He's got to kind of show that he can still play. And that's what they'll be looking at in training camp.
Yes, he played 13 last year, so he missed four.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a, 17 games.
Yeah. They play 17 now, Ryan.
Deal with the times.
Moving fast around here. Sammy Watkins is going to be an interesting to watch. One guy that we have not yet seen this offseason is Alan Lazard. Technically, that's not a big deal. It's simply because he has not signed his tender yet. Just to, I guess, examine it, to play devil's advocate, is it a big deal that he has not signed his tender yet, though? Spoon?
I think it's dumb. I don't know what he's doing. I don't understand, is he really think they're going to give him a long-term contract coming into this season? I don't get, he's getting some bad advice if someone's telling him, you know, sit out the OTAs and off season and we'll see if we can get a long-term contract. If that's what he's doing, he just decided he was mad or whatever. I think that's a bad decision too. You know, you go into your free agent year doing everything you can to have a good season. You know, it's sort of like Davante Adams, you know, he didn't skip anything. He wanted that contract. And then, you know, he said, well, screw it, I'm going to have a great year. And he did. And then he got paid. So
it's also a little dangerous to do that, though, isn't it?
What, to do off-season workouts? Ugh. I mean, really, what are they doing in shorts, in no contact? I think it's foolish. I don't know why he's doing it.
Ryan, Matt LaFleur told us this week that, you know, as far as he's concerned, this Alan Lazard is still a part of this team. And Aaron Rodgers said more than once, he thinks Alan Lazard has a chance to be the number one wide receiver in this unit. So it seems on the field, they're still considering him a huge part of this offense, and he's going to be a massive part of what they want to do on the field this fall. What is that?
Is he though? Is he
that's
really?
That's what they're saying.
Point part of what they do this year.
Two words.
That's what they're saying.
Two words. By default. If not him, then who? Look at that depth chart.
I mean, when he's a good solid receiver, but. You know, when has he shown that he could carry a team or be the number one?
He hasn't. Right. He never has. But by default, who else? If not Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb?
Someone. No. Someone's going to have
Watkins?
To. I mean, they're going to have to
stay healthy. Like,
or they're going to have to develop someone. But he's not a number one receiver. I'm sorry. He's just not.
People scream that Christian Watson is the guy. I mean, rookies don't come in and be number one receivers.
They don't.
I don't see who else.
I think that's a good point by Ryan. It's more by default than anything.
Well, I don't think.
Because he's already been developed. He already knows the offense. He's young enough to still be used on a majority of snaps. It's more than, you know, despite it, not because of it.
If they go into the season like this, they don't have a number one receiver.
No.
It's just a rotation. It's whoever's hot that particular week or whoever has a good matchup. There's no number one receiver on this team. So I don't know. You know, he has to prove that he's a number one. But, you know, from just a physical standpoint, I don't see it.
Well, that leads me to the thing that I took away this week about Sammy Watkins, which was how hard the quarterback and the coach really pushed for praise on him. I mean, they made it sound like they expect him to be a big – they said they expect it. Matt LaFleur said he's going to be a big part of the offense. Matt LaFleur said that he doesn't see any real drop-off in Sammy Watkins' game from now to 2017. When he was the offensive coordinator with him in LA, that's a heck of a thing to say because his numbers have gone away since then. He hadn't stayed healthy. But Matt LaFleur said that the only real difference is opportunities because he hadn't stayed healthy. Aaron Rodgers not only FaceTimed him when he signed his contract, but said he really liked the signing. He likes signing guys that feel like they've got something to prove. And obviously, Sammy Watkins feels like he has something to prove. I mean, they could have been tepid in talking about him, and they were the opposite of that. And I think there's a reason for that. I'm not saying that Sammy Watkins is going to be a number one receiver and all of a sudden rediscover the magic that he had early as a high first round pick in Buffalo, but there's the opportunity there. I mean, they don't have by default, they've got to have someone. And so they're pushing hard for Sammy Watkins. Maybe part of that's Alan Lazard not being here, you know, but it's wide open.
Yeah. I think, if you were to line all those guys up and say, all right, pick one who's going to be, who has the ability to be a number one, I would say it's Sammy Watkins. whether he can still do that, I don't know. But I really do think it'll be week to week. You know, there might be a week that Lazard is a real good matchup, you know, where some team is playing a lot of zone and he can work his way into open spots and, you know, or one where there's Sammy Watkins can get deep a lot, or, you know, even we can't write off Amari Rodgers yet. I mean, you got to expect there's going to be some kind of improvement there. I'm not expecting him to be a number one receiver, but if there's any kind of improvement, you know, they picked him in the third round for a reason. So he could be a part of the offense. I just think that it's going to be week to week.
Spoon, I know you actually talked to Amari Rodgers this week and you have a story coming out on that. So don't give away the farm, but just kind of tell people your biggest takeaway from your talk with him.
Just that I think he got his body right. And that was number one. He knew it and he had trouble doing anything about it during the season, which most players, once you come into training camp, that's who you are. You know, you're not going to lose a bunch of weight. You're not going to gain a bunch of weight. It's just kind of the way the routine is. It's really hard to change your body during the season. And he couldn't, and it hurt him. And now he has, and he had a really good 2-minute drive in that with Rodgers, where he caught a pass across the middle and then made a fingertip catch on the sideline. That was not a very good throw from Rodgers. So I think there's probably the Packers have some hope that he can be, you know, a 40 catch player, but we'll see. You know, it's all depends when they get the pads on.
You both mentioned Devontae Adams a minute ago. This was the first time this week that we've been able to talk to Aaron Rodgers since the Devontae Adams trade. I know he's done different media appearances, but it's the first time he's met with the Packers media beat. What was your biggest takeaway from that? And Ryan, I'll start with you. And I'll throw in mine as well. Him saying that he did everything he could to help not only get Devontae Adams back, but then to get to Las Vegas.
Yeah, you know, I one point I want to make on Devontae Adams before getting into what Aaron Rodgers said. You know, with all this, what we're saying about that there's no real number one receiver on this team as when you look at the depth chart right now in June, I'll never forget. Early 2016, I had a conversation with a very prominent NFL executive with a great track record who – I asked, you know, Devontae Adams was starting to kind of rebound from 2015. I asked, you ever see him being a number one receiver? He said, absolutely not. You know, he's not number one receiver good. And he blew up from there and became the best receiver in the league. So sometimes you don't see it coming. Sometimes it comes way out from left field. And we should say it's possible with this Packers receiving depth chart that something like that happens. It's always possible, but that's what it's going to happen. It's going to have to come from way out in left field. As far as Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams go, I thought it was interesting that, you know, Aaron Rodgers said that he thought that the chance to be an all-time, the all-time receiver and break a lot of records on the back half of his career, staying with Aaron Rodgers was a carrot that might entice him to stay. Aaron Rodgers said that he didn't try to recruit Devontae Adams. He said that they talked almost every day before the trade, but that there was no attempt to try to recruit him because he said if he has to recruit a guy like that to stay with the Packers, he feels he's already lost. And that's a good point. I mean, what more could Aaron Rodgers tell him that Devontae Adams didn't already know? But they're going to miss him for sure. And it's going to be very interesting to see in a couple of years, the fork in the road. The other thing I think too, Aaron Rodgers said that it wasn't just one-sided. He wasn't the only one asking. Aaron Rodgers wasn't the only one asking questions in these daily conversations. Devontae Adams was curious and wanted to know how much longer Aaron Rodgers was going to play. And that's just not an answer that Aaron Rodgers could give him because he made it very clear this week that he'll be making another retirement potential decision next spring. It's year to year from here on out. So if you're Davante Adams, you know, okay, I could come back, but maybe only for 1 year. He signed a 5-year contract with the Raiders. Maybe only 1 year of that, you're going to have Aaron Rodgers, or you can go and play with Derek Carr, his best friend, who, you know, there's more stability there at the quarterback position, what the Packers have. I think that played a big factor in that decision as well.
Spoon, I know you were kind of all over this Davante Adams trade. Did everything Aaron Rodgers said sort of line up with what you knew of what happened with Davante Adams and how everything went down?
Not exactly. I mean, it did for, you know, that, yes, Rodgers didn't have a decision and Adams wanted to know. And he was kind of tired of waiting and being, you know, second fiddle to, you know, being kind of held hostage to this decision. And you know, Rodgers had every right to take as long as he needed to do it. But I think Adams had every right to say, hey, I just, you know, I don't want to wait any longer. And I want to go play with my best friend. I think people made a lot of people in the media made mistake to assume that Rodgers and Adams were best friends, because mm-hmm. they're not. They're great friends on the field, but they're not friends off the field. I mean, they're not buddies. Rodgers has his circle of friends, and Randall Cobb is in that circle, and David Bakhtiari is in that circle, but Davante Adams wasn't in that circle. He's his own man. And he decided he wanted what was best for him. The only thing I probably have some question about or dispute is that Rodgers kind of made it seem like he helped Adams get to Las Vegas. And I don't think that's true. I think Brian Gutekunst did what he had to do to get it done. And, you know, it was in his hands. Was he going to do it or wasn't he going to do it? And, you know, so I kind of think that once Gutekunst knew that Adams, you know, if Adams was not going to sign a long-term deal right away, and they were going to have to carry his cap number of $25 million or whatever it was, not 25, I forgot what it was. They were going to have to carry that all off season, and that they just didn't want to do that.
Here's the question. How could Aaron Rodgers have even helped facilitate that trade? Because as much as he's grown in maybe autonomy over roster decisions or decisions that affect his job, that's still a GM thing, and he's not the GM. So I don't even know, like how can you help facilitate that? It comes down to the GM of the Packers and the Raiders coming together on an agreement for compensation for a trade.
I don't know, because he didn't explain that, but
maybe he bought him the plane ticket.
Yeah. You know, is he feel like he gave him his blessing to go,
or gave him $20 and said, put it on black and don't forget me.
He didn't need his blessing to go. Like,
no, he didn't. Of course.
So I just, that's where, when he says that, I'm like, and maybe I should have asked, you know, I was standing right in front of him. Maybe that's the question, that, how did you help? But like, how would you even help facilitate that? That escapes me.
Yeah. Well, that will be a question we'll probably never get the answer to, but we will continue to wonder. Let's talk about another guy real quick before we wrap up. Jaire Alexander spoke with media this week. His first time he's spoken since he signed his massive new deal. And we saw him back out on the field, which we had seen him, you know, in the playoff, but we saw him not only back out on the field this week, but we saw him getting moved around with Rasul Douglas in and out of the slot, them both playing inside and outside. Ryan, I'll just start with you on your biggest takeaway from everything Jaire had to say about his new contract and where he feels like this puts him with the team.
Well, I thought maybe the most interesting thing he said is how much that missed tackle on Deebo Samuel really stuck in his crawl. He said it fueled him. He said it pissed him off. He said that more than once. He hadn't tackled for months, and it was bound to happen. It was bound to come a point where he was going to be tested with that. And it was bound to look a little strange and awkward and uncomfortable because he hadn't done it in months. And it did. It just happened to come at literally the worst time possible against maybe the worst ball carrier possible at Deebo Samuel. So that did not sit well with him. He said that, the tackle on Najee Harris, if you remember, he was kind of rolling around the ground after that hit and was slow to get up. He's like, there's a pride thing about not being on the field after an arm injury, but that shoulder pain that he had after that hit, he says the worst he's ever felt in his life. I mean, he knew right away that there was something wrong. And as far as, the contract, he said that, he feels like he's the best corner in the league and wanted to be paid like that, which was very clear from the very beginning of this. It was going to take $21 million annually to sign him. And that was the number that he wanted. That was the number that his camp fixated on, because that number was going to put him over Jalen Ramsey and then Denzel Ward as the highest paid corner in NFL history on an annual salary basis, which is how these things are determined. So the Packers got there. He wanted it to be there. Sounded very much like David Bakhtiari after signing his deal in 2020, saying that tell his agent, don't come to me until there's an offer that reflects the highest offensive lineman ever paid. And that's what happened there. As far as the slot goes, you get a sense that this is still in the very early beginnings of a process to determine who that guy is going to predominantly be. Yes, it was very interesting that Rasul Douglas got almost all the slot snaps, even with Keyshawn Nixon on the field on Tuesday. It was still Rasul Douglas in the slot, which they were giving him a very hard look there. Without Eric Stokes on Wednesday, it was kind of more by committee. Jair Alexander did get some slot snaps in the 2-minute drill, including on the fourth and five from the 40 that ended the drill against Christian Watson and Aaron Rodgers. So you saw him in the slot a little bit, but not as much maybe as I would have expected. With that said, we'll see what it looks like in camp. I mean, that's going to be really interesting how they open camp with who's going to be in the slot that first week.
Spoon, I was just going to ask you to kind of build off that. I know it was kind of hard to see the defense with where we were yesterday in the practice facility. The team was sort of in front of us. But do the Packers really have something here with being able to use Jair and Rasul to sort of shuffle around and figure out who they like better there? I know Eric Stokes was not there on Wednesday, but between Rasul, Eric Stokes, and Jair, what do the Packers sort of have here to play with?
Well, I think there's a lot to be seen yet. I'm not convinced that Rasul Douglas can play in the slot. I do think he can play safety. And I think that there's ways that they can put him near the line of scrimmage to where he's also kind of a slot guy and he can blitz, do some things. But from just a straight coverage guy, I would not put him in the slot. I have questions about that. They have Keyshawn Nixon. I'm sure they're going to try him in the slot at some point. Shamar Jean Charles, they're going to try everything. This is a long process of trying to figure out where they are best. And then, I think Joe Barry has shown that he's got all kinds of defensive personnel groupings. And so I don't think it has to be the same every single time. So we'll see how that goes. It will be an interesting thing to watch during training camp.
I know now we are wrapping up minicamp. We have one more OTA next week. Guys, what has stood out to you the most over the last couple of weeks of OTAs and then this week of mandatory minicamp? Was there a player that caught your eye that maybe had not done so before? A position battle that piqued your interest that you had not necessarily thought about? Spoon, I'm going to start with you. Was there just anyone that, I guess, that stood out, like I said, that caught your eye?
I don't think there was anybody who was just, completely made my eyes bulge out, like, wow, they got something here. I didn't see that at all. So I don't know. I think I kind of want to continue to see what Christian Watson can do. I thought that Romeo Doubs kind of looks the part. He looks like he's a guy who can do a lot of different things. He's big and he looks like he runs pretty smooth routes. So I'm kind of interested to see how he does when they get the pads on and how he gets off press coverage, but he does look like he's a pretty smooth receiver.
Romeo Doubs is an interesting one because he, like you said, he looks the part, but he's not necessarily there yet. But you see him consciously working on things. Things that he might have messed up the day before, he usually tries to fix by the next day. And you talk to him in the locker room as well, and you sort of see that in him. So I think he has the potential to play more snaps and on offense than they probably thought they would get out of him, at least this rookie year. Ryan?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that this stood out to me the most, but two depth chart tidbits that I noticed in terms of minicamp compared to OTAs. I thought it was interesting that in OTAs, without Aaron Rodgers being here, Josh Neiman was at left tackle and Cole Van Landen was at right tackle. And as soon as Aaron Rodgers behind center, they flipped that. And Josh Neiman went over to right tackle and Cole Van Landen was at left tackle because the opportunity, the starting job is right tackle. And it shows you that the Packers expect David Bakhtiari to come back. And they're testing. They're still getting Josh Neiman work at left tackle as kind of, you know, just a fail safe. But they're testing and putting him through the trial of right tackle with Aaron Rodgers because that's the alignment that they expect this season with QB1 behind center. The other side of the ball, it didn't take long for Quay Walker to ascend to the first team. You know, last year in camp, Devondre Campbell spent the first week or two as a second team linebacker and then ascended. Chris Barnes was with Devondre Campbell as with the starters through the first two open OTAs. And as soon as minicamp opened, Quay Walker was the second linebacker next to Devondre Campbell. So those are maybe two depth chart tidbits that stood out to me.
Like I said, we have one more week with OTAs next week. We'll be out there on Tuesday to cover it for you. And then back on break until training camp. So Spoon, you can finish them weeds.
Yeah, everybody needs to rest now. Just rest and get ready for the season. Because it's coming up. It's not going to take that long before we're there. So, you know.
And by everybody.
Get in your proper nutrition and rest and sleep and all that kind of
stuff. By everybody, you mean especially us.
Yeah,
We are entering the sweet spot of the calendar year where we will go off the radar. And for me, it's always rest and recharge and kind of refuel. Because once late July comes, you guys know this, it's pedal to metal. It's 0 to 100 and it doesn't stop until January, maybe February. We'll see what they do this year.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, look at that. We're out of time. We can't talk about Aaron Rodgers' new girlfriend. So we'll just close it there.
Oh, darn.
I know Spoon was geared up and ready to talk about that. Guys, thank you for your time. As always, as we said, stay tuned to PackersNews.com for full coverage as the Packers wrap up minicamp and finish one more week of OTAs before taking their break. This has been the Green 19 podcast brought to you by JS Online and PackersNews.com.